It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Mr. Richard Roper, brought to you by Architect of Chicagoland, has stepped into the studio. I want to build an outdoor movie theater. I want to have them do that for me next. That's the thing they can do. I don't know why.
I'd be in for that.
Yes, I think that's. I don't know why we're even not doing that right now.
Why don't we have shovels in the ground? And then we can team up with Justin Kaufman, and we'll do a bracket: the best movies to watch at the outdoor theater. Because there's a difference. There's different movies that work better outside.
Thank you. That's right, Richard Roper. Coming up on the program, our friend Mr. Richard Marks is here.
What?
And he is going to be celebrating his new album that has just come out. And he's
Limitless, I believe.
Yes, and the first single has made the top 20 for adult contemporary. Congratulations
Too
to
great.
Him. This will be his fourth decade of cracking the top 20. And when you stop and you think about it, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and today, or 20s, you know, whatever it is.
80s, 90s.
Yeah, it's a fifth decade. Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
Oh, God.
And he's still a youngster, so he's got like three more decades in him.
Right. He was 16 or something when the whole thing started. Sort of like that. So he'll be joining us. He'll be playing News or Ruse. That will be something. And as I pointed out earlier, he's a guy that doesn't like, you know, he and Lauren Lapka are the same in a lot of ways. They don't like to be wrong. And
I'm also super talented at writing songs.
Yes, that's right. Sure you are. So I would like the two of them, you know, they're both competitive types. And they're like, no, I'm not wrong about that. And then and that's going to be fun. Watch this go right here. These two.
Lauren had her own hit with In the Gallows last year.
That's
from
true.
Game of Thrones. So.
True. That is absolutely true. All right. Let us now check in with Mr. Roper about films that are coming out this weekend, and then we'll get to the big Oscar picks.
Okay, great. You know, this is really interesting to me because this is not a reboot of a character, but it's a rebirth, if you will. There's a movie coming out called, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. That is the full title of the movie. That is why 17% of all theater workers have quit, because they're not going to get that on the marquee. But it's basically, it's Birds of Prey. Now, people might remember Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie played her in Suicide Squad. That was a big, highly anticipated DC Universe movie from 3 years ago, and it was a disaster. It was a bomb. It was a stinker. No one liked it. People didn't want to see it. They just missed it on every level, including her character. Part of the problem is the Suicide Squad is a band of kind of, you know, anti-heroes, and they PG-13 the thing to death. So they played it super safe. Now we've got Harley Quinn's standalone story, which takes place after Suicide Squad, but it's rated R, and it's all about her, and the Birds of Prey are fellow female anti-heroes, including a cop played by Rosie Perez, who everybody knows talks exactly like she's in a 1980s cop series all the time.
Right.
Actually has to turn in her gun and badge at one point. Everyone goes, ooh, this is when the good stuff happens, after the cop turns in the gun and the badge. So very self-referential. Mary Elizabeth Winstead plays Huntress. She's got a crossbow. And everyone keeps saying it's a bow and arrow. She's like, I'm not 12. It's a crossbow. So there's a lot of dark humor in there, a lot of violence. It's got a little bit of that Guy Ritchie. We talked about a film called The Gentleman from a couple of weeks ago. And you're going to get the songs like Barracuda by Heart and Hit Me With Your Best Shot from Pat Benatar. You know, hipster, like, chick power, female empowerment songs. Mm-hmm. Here's a little clip where the Birds of Prey, who have been kind of at odds with one another, now realize that the bad guys all want to kill them, so they better band together.
He's not just after the kid anymore. He's after all of us. Sure as hell after me. I just robbed him. You just betrayed him. You just killed his BFF. And you're dumb enough to be building a case against him. So unless we all want to die very unpleasant deaths and let Roma go finger fishing in the kid's intestinal tract, we're going to have to work together.
Okay.
Now, we called this movie, in our podcast, in the Best Movies podcast, which you'd go to the Sun Times website or wherever fine podcasts are found, we said this is one of the 20 movies to look out for in the year 2020.
And I'm happy to report, Rokan, 3.5 stars for Birds of Prey. Another contributing factor, I think, here, in addition to the R rating and the better visual looks and the special effects, it's directed by Kathy Yan, written by Christina Hudson. And sometimes women write for women better than men do. You might notice that every once in a while. Actually, there's a theme. All the movies we're talking about today are directed by women and or written by women. But it's very dark. It's very funny. And there's a lot of inside jokes for people who know the comic book series.
All right. It's got the longest title in the history of titles. It's the, but Harley Quinn. Just look for Harley Quinn.
Look for Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey.
Okay.
Birds EY. Of Prey.
All right. Okay. We're going to come back and talk about a movie that, it's quite a look at the Harvey Weinstein world. And it's if Harvey Weinstein were a shark, this would be the perfect movie for you. Yeah. And then we'll talk about what the big Oscar. You think there may be an Oscar upset in the making here. We're going to talk about that. But first, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the traffic and the weather? Mr. Richard Roper is here. We're reviewing movies. We're going to talk about the Oscars here in just a moment. And then Richard Marks is here. He's going to be joining us to play News or Ruse and do other sort of and sundry things.
That's amazing.
Yes. 30 million records sold.
I was going to say, between us, we have 30 million records sold, RM and I.
That's true.
Congratulations.
The three of us have spent a lot of time together over the years, and when I say to friends, I go, well, Richard is doing this, they always go, which one? the way it goes. I got this podcast with Richard. Which one? Well, Richard Roper and I have a podcast.
It's been confusing at dinner a couple of times, too, because someone's saying, Richard, pay attention, and I don't know which one of us is wandering off.
That's true. All right, let's talk about The Assistant before we talk about the Oscars. This is a movie that's coming out now. It's a look at what happened at Miramax, really.
Yeah, but it's a fictional film. A really interesting take from a writer-director named Kitty Greenrow, and what she did was she tells the story. It's clearly based on Harvey Weinstein. I mean, everything about it is, but it's fictional. Julia Garner, and if people watch Ozark, which is a Netflix series, she's Ruth on that. She won an Emmy for it. She's a wonderful actress. So she plays a recent graduate of Northwestern, honors graduate, 5 weeks into this new job, a coveted job, but it's a low rung on the ladder, as you'll get it. And it's at the offices in New York City, in Manhattan, of a prestigious award-winning boutique film studio, mm-hmm. clearly based on Miramax. And she gets a job as an assistant. She's almost like an assistant to the assistant, but just on the other side of the door is the mogul, who is never named, never seen. Everybody talks about him. Everybody reacts to him. His wife calls the assistant, yelling at her, wondering where her husband is. And we see all these little details. It's one day in the life of the assistant. We see her going into the office and cleaning crumbs off the desk. We see her scrubbing a stain out of the sofa. We see her doing other things that assistants don't usually or should normally have to do, and also doing things like printing out scripts, et cetera, et cetera. We see how everybody else reacts around him. We also see things like a young waitress from Idaho who met the mogul at a conference has just flown in and is being put up at a posh hotel because he's offered her a job. So our title character, the assistant, after a day of this and 5 weeks of this, she decides she's going to drop in on human resources and kind of outline all these disturbing things. So here's a moment where the HR guy kind of reacts not the way you'd hope that he would to her complaints.
What's your plan?
I'm sorry?
Where do you want to be in 5 to 10 years?
Oh, I want to produce. I want to be a producer.
You do?
Yeah.
That's excellent. We could use more women producers. You know, it's a tough job, but I can see that you've got what it takes. So why are you in here trying to throw it all away over this bullshit?
That's Matthew McFadden, who's on the show Succession. You might recognize his voice. He's the guy that's married to the one daughter. And he just does a number on her where he acts like he's very concerned and basically lets her know more than once during that meeting, go back to your office and shut up. If not, you're going to lose your job. And he even gives her the classic, there are 500 other girls who would take that job. So I'm giving 3 stars to The Assistant. It moves at a very deliberate pace, but it really is film row like a monster movie where you never see the monster.
Like
it's
Jaws
the way people react to it. Yeah. Or a lot of great ghost movies. Or you even look at it, you know, films about like Quiet Place from a couple of years ago, or Signs, where we only caught a glimpse of the aliens at the end of the movie, and it's almost always a little bit underwhelming because it's all about the sights and the sounds. Here, the monster is a mogul who's verbally abusive, who's taking advantage of the women who come into his office, who just manipulates everybody to his gain, and everyone's afraid to deal with him, including the mid-level executives who all come, you know, running to him at all times. It's a fascinating and chilling look at this horrible, horrible story from the point of view of one young woman who all she wants to do is get her foot in the door and work her way up the showbiz ladder the legitimate way.
As if there were one. May I ask you where you find this? Is this theaters?
It's theaters, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very early on, but it's the type of film that Julia Garner could get nomination consideration, because the film is just always centered on her, and it's very low key. You don't see her flying into hysterics. You see this young woman who came to New York with all the great hopes of the world, and all the details where she shows up early and she has to wash everybody's coffee cups and certain demeaning things that unfortunately are a part of the, you know, the low rung jobs. But then you see it go into spiraling into other stuff, including the arrival of certain needles that are used to inject a certain part of the body, which has been mentioned in a certain trial.
Yeah, just ripped from the headlines.
Yes.
All right, speaking of the headlines, let's talk about the Oscars very quickly here. And if you'd like to hear all of Richard's Oscar picks, you can go again to the podcast, The Best Movies, The Race for the Gold, which is now available where all podcasts are found. You can go to the Sun-Times website, or you can just on your podcast, wherever you get your podcast, just type in Richard Rober and Rokon, or either of our names, and it'll pop up for you.
Ask Jeeves, if nothing else. You know.
They heard you on the Dan Patrick show today, plugging this. We really appreciate that. And so we've got all the Oscar stuff. You got Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actors and Actresses, and the Oscar picks. That's a separate episode in and of itself.
We also, I have to say, Rokon, we finally give people the answer they've been asking me for 20 years. What is the difference between sound mixing and sound editing? And I know Richard Marx is going, are you kidding me, you idiots? But I'm talking about specifically for motion pictures.
All right, so.
Yes.
You think that there may be a couple of films that may be streaking here at the end.
Yeah, first of all, you know, Parasite is now the favorite for Best Picture after being considered maybe 12-1 when the nominees were first announced, because we all said, oh, it'll win for foreign language film, which they now call international film. Mm-hmm. So 1917 or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood would win. Right now, Parasite is now the favorite. So that's a lot of movement. And then, big movement, not since Blue Star Airlines in the original Wall Street all of a sudden became a hot stock. About a week ago, Toy Story 4 was like 1 to 50 to win Best Animated Film, right? So you put down $50 just to win one. It was that big of a favorite. Now, it is the co-favorite with a film called Klaus, which was a Netflix original. It's a very interesting, very different style of animation than Pixar, and it's getting all this momentum. It won the BAFTA for Best Animated
British
Film.
Oscar.
And then there's an animated film award category called the Annies, which is a big deal in the animated community, because they give out awards in different aspects, not just the film itself. Hmm. And it was the big winner at the Annies. So now all of a sudden, and as we've talked about, you can actually bet on the Oscars in certain states, New Jersey, Indiana, and of course in different online things. Mm-hmm. So there's money moving on Klaus.
Wow.
Now, if Klaus wins, not since the Iowa caucuses are we going to have... You know there's going to be a demand for a recount. It's going to be Moonlight and La La Land, except for its cartoon characters. It's going to be Sit Down, Woody and Buzz. Klaus, you guys won.
Wow.
So I've never seen that much movement in any category this late.
I would say that Parasite does not have a chance, and I'll tell you why. Because I am certain that Kirk Douglas in his dying act did not vote for it for Best Picture.
Too soon.
It is too soon, but I love Kirk Douglas. We'll talk about him tomorrow. But there is not. There's. I just think that there's the Academy is still pretty provincial about things. Yes. And I think I think a foreign language film, an international film that is in Korean, there's a little bit of English in it, but not a lot. It is maybe two or three lines. I just don't think that all the people who are voting will have seen it.
I will just add this in just a couple of seconds. Kirk Douglas is the only person ever who could have voted for all four versions of A Star is Born, plus Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland.
There you go. Richard Roper. He'll be back with us tomorrow. We'll be talking more about the Oscars then, and also all of the other things that are happening. Richard Marx, the other Richard, is going to be joining us right here. We're going to listen to a little bit of the music that he's put out, and he's going to play News or Ruse.